Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have resurrection power working in us who believe. How many believe that? Because of the resurrection, Jesus Christ is alive and lives in us. Paul said, Christ lives in me. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves he is the Son of God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And you know, if he was really God, death could not keep him in the grave. The fact that death could not hold him is evidence that he is the Son of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God in his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection. The fact that he was brought back from the dead is proof that he is truly the Son of God. And we know, as I said earlier, that he is alive and well because he lives in us. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. How many just love to go through the scriptures and discover what the resurrection is really like from the Word of God? Amen. I'm a Bible preacher, and I love reading the Bible and preaching the Word. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it says, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves he is the Son of God. If he stayed in the grave, then he was not God. In Luke chapter 24, verse 45, now this is Jesus speaking. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. That's what Jesus Christ taught his disciples. At that time, no one believed the Messiah would suffer and die. They believed he was going to be a great king, but Jesus said, the Son of God has come to die for your sins, to die in your place, and that's going to happen. Nobody can stop it. Peter, with your sword, you can't stop it. And it's going to happen, but I will come back. And it's backed up by prophecy, and he knew that. Then he opened their minds to understand. How many want him to open your mind to understand Scripture? Isn't that neat? Do you know that he's your Lord just like he was theirs? And just like he opened their understanding to understand, he can open us up so that we understand the Scripture and understand the truth of God's Word and understand what is available to us because we have a risen Lord who is our high priest, and we can go boldly before him at any moment for anything. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written. It's important to know what is written. And that's my job as a preacher, to make sure you know what is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. Jesus taught his disciples from scripture that the Christ would suffer, die, and be raised from the dead. You see, we need to be in Scripture. You see, it's hard for him to open your understanding to Scripture when you're never in it. Amen. Amen. And you need to be in the Word of God so he can open your understanding to understand it. And you need to be in a church like this if you're not already. And, of course, most of you are, at least right now. And so I preach the Word of God, and my prayer is that God would open my understanding and your understanding to understand the truth of God's Word, because you shall know the truth, and the truth has set you free. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, you will not abandon me to the grave. That's a prophecy about the coming of Christ. You will not abandon me to the grave. As then, many people didn't understand Scripture, and that's why he had to open their understanding. You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. In other words, I'm going to go to the grave, but I'm not going to stay there. This is a prophecy that God would not let the Christ decay in the grave. In Luke chapter 9:22, Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed." Now, why was that necessary? Because of your wickedness, because of your sins, because of your rebellion, and of course mine too. He died, he suffered and died in my place that we might have eternal life and that we might have him as a high priest to help us to get through this life. But for all of that to happen, he had not only to suffer and die and be crucified, he had to come back from the dead to guarantee that we receive what he provided. So right now you have a high priest, and you can come boldly before his presence, and you can declare to him what your need is, and he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us, and to meet every need we have in this life until he's ready for us in heaven. Amen. This is a pretty good deal. Amen. See, our Lord is alive. You say, "Well, why do I have all these problems?" Well, you need to go to him and let him help you with your problems. A lot of times we're trying to do it all by ourselves. We're told to cast our care upon him, you know, and trust him to take care of us. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And you've been really rejected and you're hurt right now because of it. Just know he knows what you're going through because he was rejected. He suffered in every way just like us. You see, this was God's plan, and it reveals God's power. The resurrection power that raised him from the dead is available to change your life and my life. Of course, no one believed, as I said at that time, that this was going to happen, but Jesus said it's going to happen. The disciples didn't even believe it. And they were saying, "Quit saying that stuff. You're not going to die." John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am eternal life for you. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." And I enjoy doing funerals. And I know that might not sound exactly right, but I love to tell people, you're going to see them again. If they're a born-again believer and you're a born-again believer, good news. They're not really dead. They're dancing in heaven. And in God's perfect time, and he's coming back for all of us. He's bringing those people that we love that have died and gone to heaven. He's going to bring them back, and then their dead bodies will be raised from the dead. And redemption will be complete. Their bodies will be restored to their spirit, and they'll be completely whole forever. That is the promise of the resurrection. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Do you believe that? Amen. Well, what about us who feel like we're dead? Can we be raised to happiness and joy and peace and to a good, healthy life again, right here, right now? I believe the resurrection is also for the living. Yay. Sometimes we need to be resurrected from our own misery. And some of us probably sitting here right now say, "Well, I'm miserable, but I deserve it." No, you don't. No matter what you've done, the Word of God says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once you confess your sins, you deserve the blessing and the favor of God because he promised that. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin. The problem is a lot of us just don't believe that. And even now, when I start to pray, after all these years, the devil started telling me, "Well, you're not worthy. Who are you to come boldly before the throne of grace?" And I have to tell him who I am. I'm a born-again believer that's been washed in the blood. My sins are washed away. It's not because of my goodness. It's because of his goodness and his provision. I'm righteous by his blood. When God sees me, he sees me through the blood. He sees me as righteous, and therefore I'm worthy to come boldly before the throne of grace. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me. Who believes in him?
Amen.
He who believes in me will live even if he dies.
Amen.
So we don't need to be afraid of death.
Amen.
If we're born again. Because of his resurrection, we who believe in him will live even if we die. Jesus has defeated death. When he came up out of that grave, he defeated the devil. He defeated death, and he defeated anything and everything that's trying to hold you down and wreck your life, because Satan is behind all bad things, and he died to set you free from anything and everything the enemy has put on you or is trying to put on you. Therefore, if we die, he will resurrect us from the dead. Justin Martyr, one of the great preachers after the disciples, the apostolic fathers, they're called, were preachers who lived after the apostles died. And one of them was Justin Martyr. He was born in 100 A.D. In other words, most of the disciples probably were already dead, but those who saw Jesus raised from the dead, many of them were still alive. And certainly many who heard their testimonies were still alive when this man was born. And in his book on the resurrection, he wrote, and when he, this is what he preached, he wrote this book on the resurrection, and you can look it up, Google it, but don't do it now. Do it when you get home. On the resurrection by Justin Martyr. And when he, speaking of Jesus, when he, Jesus, had thus shown them that there is truly a resurrection of the flesh, he removed all doubt. He said Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and he had the same flesh, but now it's a glorified body. Glorified bodies can walk through walls. You can't. But one of these days you'll have a glorified body.
Amen.
If you serve the Lord. And when he had thus shown them that there is truly a resurrection of the flesh, wishing to show them this also, that it is not impossible for flesh to ascend into heaven. It's not impossible for flesh to ascend into heaven. What is he talking about? Jesus Christ, with the disciples and many others watching, went in physical flesh through the clouds back to the Father, and is seated right there at the right hand of God Almighty, and he's a human in human flesh right now representing you. And when you have an issue or a problem, I promise you, he understands you.
Yeah.
He's not just some mystical, mysterious God. He is a man that lived on this earth just like you. He was fully God and fully man, but on this earth he humbled himself as a servant even unto death.
Amen.
He was rejected, abused, cursed, spit on, slapped around, beaten, and whipped for your salvation. And that couldn't be completed if he died and stayed dead. He had to come up out of that grave. And he told his disciples, "You're going to kill me, but I'm coming back."
Amen.
They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Had thus shown them that there is truly a resurrection of the flesh, wishing to show them this also, that it is not impossible for flesh to ascend into heaven, because he had been raised from the dead, had a glorified body. It was still a human body, and I'll show you that in a minute. Let me know if you can eat fish or anything else.
Amen.
You have a human body.
Amen.
See, he was taken up into heaven, he says, and they beheld as he was in the flesh. And of course, that's in the Bible as well. Justin Martyr says Jesus ascended into heaven in the flesh, proving it is not impossible for flesh to ascend into heaven. Christians in his day knew Jesus arose from the grave because they saw him or knew someone who did see him after he died. Because, well, how do we know? They had all these witnesses. That's why they turned the whole world upside down preaching it, because they knew what they were preaching was real and it is true. And today we know He's real because he lives in us.
Amen.
You see, he says it is truly a resurrection of the flesh. If he resurrected the flesh of Jesus Christ from the dead, he is quite capable of raising you and me and our loved ones from the dead. That's why we're here.
Amen.
Celebrating the resurrection. We need to know why we're here.
Amen.
Well, it's Easter. I got to go to church. Well, there's more to it than that. Can you say amen? Luke chapter 24, verse 36. While they, his disciples, were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." The guy's dead. They're sitting there crying and carrying on. And he just comes right through the wall. Yay. Now don't sit there and look like you're tough. You'd be scared to death too. Now, he has human flesh. He could walk in here right now. I kind of hope he don't, because I'd be scared too. Verse 37, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. They didn't believe he was going to come from the dead. They did not believe him. But we have to believe him, folks. That he's alive and well. Verse 38, he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." You see, he was not a ghost. Jesus still has a human body right now. And his disciples and many others saw him go right through the clouds in flesh. Glorified body, but it's still a human body.
Amen.
Just like all of us are promised later. He went right up into heaven with the scars he bore for us. As far as I can understand from Scripture, he's the only one in heaven that will have scars in his body. And it's because those scars represent our redemption. Verse 40, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Verse 41, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Now some of you, "I love to eat." Well, we have food in heaven. Yes.
Come on.
Well, what will it be? I don't know, but it'll be better than anything you've ever eaten here.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Verse 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish. This man even cooked and ate fish for breakfast. How many of you ladies like to have a husband that got up and cooked fish for breakfast every morning? Verse 43, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Spirits, you see, the Word of God gives you everything you need to know. It's right here. Well, the Word of God is boring. Well, which one of these scriptures I just read is boring? And he took it and ate it in their presence. You see, spirits and ghosts do not eat food. And if they do, it falls underground. Because I saw the movie. Jesus' human body was raised from the dead. He has a glorified body like we'll have someday. And that is what Justin Martyr was talking about. He wasn't just a spiritual resurrection. His flesh and blood and bones came up out of that grave. There is now a man, a human in the Godhead. We have a real high priest in heaven interceding for us. That ought to make you tingle all over. To know that he's in heaven praying for you. So how could that be? It's a miracle of God. Everything about Jesus Christ is a miracle.
Amen.
Because he's God. And people want to say, "Well, I want to know God." If you want to know God, get to know Jesus, because he is God. You see, he had to be 100% God and 100% man in order to be a righteous man. If he's just another human, then he couldn't die in my place. You couldn't die in my place because you're just as bad off as me. I couldn't die in your place because I'm just as bad off as you. Or I was before I was born again. But Jesus Christ was fully God, fully human, and he died in my place, and death couldn't hold him. He came back up out of that grave, and in so doing, he redeemed me and guarantees me that I will never die. This body will, but I won't. I'm a spirit in a body. I'm alive and well. And when the body kills over, I'll walk free. And so will you. Therefore, if Christ be raised from the dead, then he is the victor and death is defeated. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and the grave. He also has keys to, he also has the key and is the key to good, prosperous, successful Christian life. He has defeated hell and the grave, and he's provided for you the keys to a good, healthy, prosperous life. And this is the beginning of it right here, when you understand what he did for you, and he provided everything you need to live life and live godly. Isaiah says, truly hath borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. And all of that happened. He provided everything we need to live life and live godly. And then he came up out of that grave to guarantee it.
Amen.
He's watching over his covenant to make sure we get it if we'll believe for it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He led captivity captive. See, captive has been taken captive, therefore we can be free. And then it says, and gave gifts to men. He gives all of us gifts so that we'll be able to make a good living. Can you say amen and have a good life? He's provided everything we need to live life and live godly and gave gifts to men. And a lot of us, because we have a gift or have a talent, we think, well, look at me, how wonderful I am. No, it's the Lord that's wonderful because he is the one that's giving you those gifts and enabling you to do what you're doing.
Amen.
Especially as born-again believers. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, when he came out of that grave, he kicked, you know, who in the rear? You say, amen. He defeated the devil once and for all. And now Jesus can say, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And you have that authority and that power because Jesus Christ defeated him. Satan tried to keep him in the grave. Satan did have him killed. I'm sure in my mind, at least I'm sure in my mind, he thought that was the end of it. But he didn't realize that Jesus Christ was coming back. And all of a sudden, there he was. And he realized he's defeated. He has no authority over you right now at all. Satan has no authority over you at all. Well, why am I going through all this? Partly because you don't understand that you, because of what happened on the resurrection day, you have authority over Slewfoot, and you can tell that guy where to go. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. That's not a joke. That's real.
Amen.
And it didn't come easy for Jesus because he had to suffer for that. Hebrews 2:14, but through death, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, named him. He has been defeated. But he'll come to steal, kill, and destroy anyway. You have to know he's defeated, and you have to do what the Word of God says. Peter said, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. We have to resist him and tell him to get out.
Amen.
Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, why don't somebody help me? You need to take authority yourself. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Jesus destroyed the devil's power over us by blotting out our sins. And so a lot of people don't understand that. When the Lord by his blood blotted out my sins, that took away the devil's right to touch me. Because the curses or the consequences of sin is on all of us. But what happens when the sin is blotted out and the sin is gone? The curse and the consequent no longer has a right to be there. What gave the devil a right to the Garden of Eden? When they sinned. That's when all the curses came into the Garden of Eden. There weren't any tornadoes or earthquakes or diseases. It says there wasn't even any thorns and thistles till after the curse came because of sin. Well, what happens when our sins are blotted out? Paul said we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. When your sins are blotted out by the blood of Christ, the devil no longer has a legal right to you, and he knows it because the sin is blotted out. It has nothing to do with you. It's the work of Jesus Christ. Your only part is putting your faith in Jesus. Okay? When you put your faith in him, he blots out your sin. Put your faith in him as your Lord and Savior. He blots out your sin. The devil no longer has a legal right to come steal, kill, and destroy, but he will anyway. And what did Jesus say? The thief will come to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, who stops him? I do. You do. I'm righteous, Satan. Now get out of here. You're not putting that on me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And it's almost impossible for some Christians to say, I'm righteous. Because you're not looking at yourself the way God looks at you. You're seeing all your silly mistakes and the times you get angry in traffic and act weird. Maybe a little bit violent. You're looking at all the bad. God is looking at the blood. He sees you as righteous.
Amen.
Say that. I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Say, I'm righteous.
I am righteous.
Because of the blood.
Because of the blood.
And I now have
a
high priest that understands me. And I can go to him.
They are not.
Amen. How do I know that? That's why I'm standing here. My faith is in him. He takes care of me. And you too. But to finish the work, he had to defeat death once and for all by coming out of that grave. In Romans chapter 8 verse 32, Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God. Can you believe that? He's at the right hand of the Father. And he's got you on his mind. You say, well, that's true. He knows all about my bad stuff. Yes, he does. That's why you got to say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me.
Amen.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means you stand before God as if you never sinned ever one time. And you have to know that because the devil's going to show up in your prayer closet and tell you how bad you are. And you got to tell him how good the blood of Jesus Christ is. I'm just reading the Bible. How many like the Bible? He is alive to intercede for Barry Coverson. He's up there right now praying, God, help him to preach better. Come on, help him, help him. He is alive to intercede for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I've been serving God since I was 11 years old. I took 1 year off at 14 for bad behavior. But other than that, I've been serving God with all my heart ever since. And boy, I have flubbed up, messed up. The person I get the maddest at is me. Why'd you do that? Why'd you say that? But at the same time, he sees me as righteous. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yes, rather, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So he is alive to intercede for me, even when I'm messing up. And he sees me as righteous, even when I'm messing up, not because I'm so good, but see, it's so hard for people to really get that. But he sees me through the blood, so he sees me as righteous. And all I got to do is confess my sin, and he'll forgive me. You see, he will never leave me nor forsake me. In all these years, everything I've been through, he's always been right there to help me. We came here and started this church. In the second year, we didn't even have a building, and we had a little income coming in. We had a daughter born with a major heart condition, heart hooked up totally backwards. Oh, where's God? Where's God? Well, I prayed, and God began to work miracles, and he turned that whole thing around and turned it into a great testimony, because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You may have an attack like that on your life, but Jesus Christ will walk through that valley with you, and he'll help you come out on the other side better than you were when you went in, if you trust him.
Amen.
Something like that can destroy you if you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you have to know that he's at the right hand of the Father waiting on you.
Amen.
I've been through tons of stuff like that. And God is right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as the first importance. That this is St. Paul. As the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, verse 5, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive. Paul got to talk to all those people who saw Jesus come back from the dead. And he says, I know this thing is real. And that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 other brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive, though some or have fallen asleep or have died. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. What's he talking about? He was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians, and Jesus Christ showed up on the way and slapped him down in the dirt. I'm an old country boy. I mean, I have a way of making it clear. And so he's laying there looking up, and he says, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, he's still alive. He's still well. He's still got that human body. And just like he appeared to Paul, he can appear to you in flesh. And he has appeared to me. He lives with me. I've seen two or three visions of him. I've never seen him in the flesh that I know of. Can you say amen? If I did run into him on the street in the flesh, I'm sure he'd have on a suit and tie. Can you say amen? Who knows? Who cares? But I know he's alive and well. And I know he's got you on his mind, interceding for you right now. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Yes, there's someone who does. By the way, you've never been crucified, so you don't know yourself what he went through. He knows what you're going through. I feel like that's the main reason God sent me here today to preach this. God wants you to know he's got you on his mind. So I'm a rebel against God, and I never even asked the Lord to be my Savior. Well, he still got you on his mind. He died for you. The Bible says when you're still in your sins, he died for you. Today is the day you should talk to him and ask him to help you change your life, to live in you, to be your Lord. You see, now he has appeared to all of us. He's appeared in one way or the other to every one of us who are born again. The New Testament church had over 500 witnesses at one time. They knew Jesus was alive. That is why I've already said a time or two, they turned the world upside down. Do you think they would have died for a hoax? Right then and there, the Pharisees made up this lie that the disciples stole his body. I don't care who you are. You're not going to die for a hoax. Paul knew. Justin Martyr knew. We know that he's alive. And it's been in the news a lot lately, the Shroud of Turin, which is thought to be the burial cloth for Christ. They put a cloth over him. And in that cloth is burned the image of a Jewish man. And the scientists have researched that now for years. And they're saying they had no technology back then to burn an image like that in cloth, and neither do they have it now. And so more and more scientists are starting to say this is the real deal. That Jesus Christ really did come up out of that grave. And the power of God that raised him from the dead was so strong it burned his image into the burial cloth. Amen. It's certainly something to think about. Amen. If you're not going to say amen, I'll do it for you. Amen. First Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. That's what Paul said. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep or have died in Christ have perished. Verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. The man, Jesus Christ, he was a man and fully God. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. In Christ, every one of us who die will be made alive in Christ and will have our flesh. I tell people, if you don't like your ugly nose, get used to it, because you're going to have it for all eternity. God's going to raise you from the dead, all of you. You see, we must be in Christ. If Christ did not rise from the dead, our faith is worthless and we're still in our sins. It's important to believe in the resurrection. The Word of God says that if we put our faith in Jesus Christ and confess Jesus as the Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. One of the conditions of being saved, to be saved, is to believe that God raised him from the dead. Because none of this works if he's still dead. But in Christ, if Christ be raised from the dead, then we have eternal life, and our dead bodies will also be raised from the dead. I don't think I've ever told this in church, but this guy worked at the plant in Oak Ridge, and I had people in the church kept asked that worked with this guy, and said, we want you to pray for this guy, that he'll get saved and come to Jesus Christ. I said, okay. And said, he's a racist. And I didn't realize it, but he was a black man. And he hated black people. Reversed. And one day, this guy showed up in church. I didn't know who he was. And he introduced himself. I still didn't know who he was. And one of the guys said, that's the guy we told you about. And I mean, he was born again. He was saved. He was changed. He was hugging everybody, loving everybody. I'm thinking, what in the world happened to him? Well, for one thing, I prayed for him. Of course, a lot of you are praying for him, but I can't take credit for anything. And one day he shared his, and he stayed in his church for years. He was a minister here in the church. He led a Victor group for years. He moved to another state many years ago. And one day he told me his story. He says, I was sitting at my kitchen table drinking a beer, and Jesus Christ walked into my room and sat down in a chair right in front of me. I guess I hadn't told it because I didn't figure anybody would believe it. That's what he said. And he said, he talked to me and he says, if you'll serve me, I'll help you. I'll be with you. I'll bless you. It won't be easy, but if you serve me, I'll take care of you. And that man gave his life to Jesus Christ. The last time I saw him, he was still going strong for God. He told that for the truth, and he told it more than once. And I'm not the only one he told it to. Jesus Christ in the flesh came into his, I think he was in the dining room, and sat down at a chair and talked to him. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I believe it's possible. Amen. Amen. I believe it's possible because he's alive and well. You see, we can know the... Y'all loving these scriptures yet? Amen. Now, this is just a few I picked out. There's more. We can know the power of his resurrection because that power now dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead. The Father God, by the Holy Spirit, raised him from the dead. Amen. And that's what burned his image into that cloth, if that's what happened. And many people are saying that's what happened. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Paul says, I want to know him, and I want to know the power that raised him from the dead. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering and sharing in the benefit of his suffering as well, because become like him in the flesh. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. In other words, we all can know the power of his resurrection. It is the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can, if we don't already, know that power right now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, his mighty power, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly place. You see, God wants us to know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in and for us who believe. That same resurrection power of the Holy Spirit lives in you right now, and you can know that power. Amen. There's no measuring it. There's no limit to it. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is working in you. You do not have a problem that power can't fix if you put your faith in the man, Jesus Christ. There's only one way to access salvation of the power of God, by faith in the man, Jesus Christ. Amen. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is working in us. And Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. And he did. At Torres, Paul was preaching late at night. It says he talked on and on and on. Some of you think I've preached long. This guy preached all night. People are falling asleep. I don't see anybody asleep yet. It says he talked on and on. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in a third story window. If you listen to some preachers, don't be sitting in a window. Okay, because you may go to sleep and fall out. In a third story window, he fell asleep, and it says he fell to the ground three stories and died. Acts chapter 20, verse 10, Paul went down, threw himself. Did he know the resurrection power of Christ? He believed he did. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. Don't be afraid, he said, he's alive. He was dead. But Paul raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I don't know that power. He did. Verse 12, the people took the young man home alive. Do y'all like the Bible? Amen. Well, the Bible's boring. What part would that be? Maybe Leviticus with all those laws. Skip Leviticus and read the rest of it. And then you get Leviticus later. Can you say amen? The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's the same power that birthed us into the kingdom of God, the same power that lives in us and works in us, the same power that the Lord uses to work miracles for us. That power operates only in one name, the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. That's why we can speak to mountains. In the name of Jesus. Because it's not our bad breath that moves mountains. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that moves the mountain. He raised him. So God raised this young man from the dead when Paul was hugging on and praying for him. So he had the power. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. In Romans chapter 15, verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached this gospel of Christ. So this is that same resurrection power. And he says, I've been preaching it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves he is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is alive forever to intercede for us and to work in us through us. That's all.